Go. Okay.
Hi. And I said that really weirdly. Hi, and welcome to What the Phalange, the podcast where we begin to lose it because the elections are still undecided and we watch every episode of Friends, discuss it, deconstruct it, and fan over it one episode at a time.
My name is Quinn, pronouns zizier or they, them.
And my name is Emily, pronouns she and her.
This week, we're talking about season one, episode 19, the one where the monkey gets away. Aired March 9th, 1995, written by Jeff Ashtroff and Mike Sikowitz. This one directed by Peter Bonners.
In this episode, Ross plans to confess his love to Rachel,
but instead gets mad at her when she accidentally loses his monkey who was in her care.
This leads the group into a wild goose chase trying to find Marcel.
Dun, dun, dun.
All right, here we are.
The world is ending.
The world is ending.
The world is falling apart. And we're going to talk about Friends.
Hi.
It feels weird.
It feels weird. Things are weird.
Things are so weird.
So, for context, we are recording on November 4th.
Wednesday, November 4th.
Wednesday, November 4th, about 20 hours after the first polls closed. We still do not have any results of whether or not Biden or Trump has won this election, although we do have a couple of things, I guess some pros and cons, a few flip states, which are great, and we're just waiting. We're just sitting at the edge of our seat and waiting. I had about 5 hours of sleep yesterday, and I'm a little feeling not great. How are you feeling, Quinn?
I don't even know. Yeah. I just feel the energy. It's just not sitting. None of it's sitting. I feel the energy inside me pacing, you know? And
I just imagine like a little person walking around your brain.
Seriously. Very restless feeling. And I definitely spent probably about an hour and a half this afternoon, reading some pretty like worst case scenario type articles on what could happen.
So, why'd you do that? That was a terrible decision.
Because I like to be equipped.
Okay. Fine. Valid. But, okay, yeah. And can you imagine we're feeling this way and we're not even American, right? I can't even imagine. Like, some of our listeners are from the States and we are holding you in our hearts today. Some of our listeners are from Europe and we're also holding you in our hearts because, honestly, this election is like going to be a game changer for everyone, for us up here in Canada, and for the world as a whole in terms of like environmental climate change, just the spread of hate, violence, and harm, to, you know, kind of setting us back after years and years of progress. Decades, centuries of progress, it feels like we're just backpedaling and we're just trying to stay afloat.
Yeah. Yeah. And definitely a shout out to we have some listenership. We've been growing like a little bit more and more of a community, specifically in Virginia and Georgia and Michigan.
Wow. Yeah. All of which, Michigan, you guys are right now potentially going to be the flipping state. You said Georgia. Georgia is looking like it's for Trump. And what's our third state here?
New York.
New York. Okay, yeah. New York is always
blue. New York is always blue. But yeah, so we're going to – so especially you guys, make sure you're taking care of yourself. Do what you got to do. Recognize that productivity is a figment of capitalism and that you are not obliged to adhere to it right now. you just take care of yourself and your family.
And who knows, maybe, you know, we're releasing this podcast Sunday. Maybe by the time this podcast comes out on Sunday, we'll have, you know what? I can't even say great news, because it's just so upsetting that, like, Biden is our great news.
Yeah.
It's just like, do we want a sexual assaulter who's a racist? Or do we just want a sexual assaulter who's also kind of racist, but, like, more subdued? it's a tough cookie, guys. And this is the electoral system that the United States has. And Canada is honestly not that much better. We pretty much have a two-party system, despite pretending that we don't have a two-party system.
Yeah. Anyways. So this is a nice time to reflect on how democracy is, we're never safe because we think we have a democracy. We always have to be reflecting on and improving the democracy that we have, and recognizing that it's a work in progress, and that we need to be moving forward on. Mm-hmm.
And recognizing that the power is of the people, you know, and we sometimes think that the government holds the power, but you know what? We can make shit happen, and we have made shit happen. You know, burning shit down is the way in which we've made most things happen in our lives. So
Emily wrote this awesome article called Thank a Riot. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
I always reference it. No, just FYI, I've linked it on multiple Facebook posts.
Oh, awesome.
But you can check out Emily's website, emilybyoga.com, and go over to her blogs.
Articles.
And
it's called Thank a Riot. Maybe we'll put it in the show notes. Why not?
All big movements have happened from riots. Yeah. Anywho, so this is grim, but we decided that the show must go on. And we are going to talk about friends this week, but we also wanted to let everyone know that we're feeling it right now and having a little bit of a hard time wrapping our head around, you know, talking about, you know, something that feels a little bit mundane right now. Yeah. But also going back to, like, the whys of why we're doing this. You know, first of all, everyone needs entertainment, because entertainment is you know, the arts, entertainment, pop
culture. The arts will save us. Yeah.
But then also on top of that, you know, a lot of change also happens in our own homes, through our own minds, and sharing those things with the people that we love and the people who are immediately around us. And being able to, like, have a space to have these, like, broader conversations about the world in reflection to, like, the media that we're consuming is important. And so that is what we're going to do today.
Yeah.
You ready, Emily?
I'm ready. Are you ready, Quinn?
I think so.
Okay.
We're going to just hop right into, like, general feels about the episode.
Yeah, great. Let's do it.
Because I have such a hard time with this episode. Mm-hmm. This is one of a few episodes that I will actually very often just skip over because I don't like watching it.
I feel like the only redeeming thing of this entire episode is Rachel's outfit.
Rachel's outfit and Phoebe's dive to save Marcel from a sleep dart. That I thought was hilarious. That's just great. And I actually forgot about that scene when I watched this episode on Monday with our, when we watched it as our Netflix watch party. Because I skip over this episode so often because I despise, and it gives me, like, the no feeling, the way that Ross reacts in this episode and how he basically becomes verbally abusive towards Rachel. Yeah. It's just, he behaves so incredibly unacceptably.
Yeah. And it's like, and I think that it's not to say that he's not allowed to be mad that of the situation, because, you know, it's a pet. Obviously, he clearly cares about Marcel very much. I think anyone could be mad in this form of situation, but the way he gets mad and the way he talks down to her and the way that he basically implies that she's stupid and then thinks he can just get away with it at the end of the episode with like a very easy apology.
Yeah, you know? No one corrects him. Like everyone thinks it's acceptable how he behaves. And anger is not a bad emotion. There's no emotion that's bad. And so like I think our society in general has a bit of an issue around anger in general. Also, men are much more allowed to, like, it's much more acceptable for men to express anger slash probably one of the only emotions that men are really allowed to express. Mm-hmm. But there's nothing wrong with Ross being angry. It's how he channels that anger and how he channels it towards Rachel and the way he expresses that anger that is just so horrendous.
Totally unacceptable.
And I think it's also just so horrendous in like the bigger picture of like how you see their relationship evolve and how he's like so in love with her at the same time. Mm-hmm. But I think, okay, we're going to get further into that as the episode progresses, because there's another two things that I want to bring up this episode.
Yeah, what are your two things? Because I honestly think we're probably going to have total overlap for our three things.
Yeah, probably. So one is Ross is a jerk.
Yeah, that's mine. I put Ross is a dick, but, you know, synonymous.
Similar. Not quite. We'll talk about the nuances.
Okay, for sure.
And then two is fat phobia is real and very much demonstrated in this episode.
I just wrote fat phobia. I couldn't even like articulate anything more than that. I was just like,
Yeah. And then three is don't harbor an illegal animal.
Oh, we don't overlap on this one.
Because illegal, like animals shouldn't be domesticated. Don't domesticate an animal that does not need to be domesticated. It's just also disclose to your friends. It's freaking illegal.
Yeah.
Anyway,
you got to tell your friends of your illegal activities.
To a degree.
Okay, but like you're like your inner circle in which it could potentially come back and bite you in the ass.
Yeah, and then also
you've got like, to do that
when you're putting that illegal activity into the care and hands of your friends who trust you.
It's like
let them know.
It's like, you know, like you like sneak weed into someone's bag as they cross the border. Like not cool. Like when you like are getting your friends to like to also be included in your illegal activity, you've got to let them know. Like. You just do.
Yep.
Well, obviously, if they're trustworthy and there's like, there's so many nuances, but you know, whatever.
In this case.
Okay, yeah. So my third thing that I want to talk about is a little bit of like, it's a short scene, but that scene with Chandler and Joey and the two girls their radiator's broken and they're clearly just there to be hot. In more ways than one. And so, yeah, I want to talk about that a little bit. But okay, so maybe we should just start getting into it right away.
Well, before we get into it, I want to point out that we didn't do the fashion on our polls this week. We didn't do our fashion extravaganza because, unfortunately, now Emily and I are both working. I just picked up a contract, so. Essentially, that distracted me.
Oh, sorry.
Emily setting up a timer. I have a timer in front of me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So we didn't have today. This week we did not do the fashion extravaganza. I'm really, really determined. I really want to keep the polls, but we are now both working jobs. I picked up a contract this week. And so the amount of time that we have to spend on the podcast is getting smaller and smaller. And so again, also for this week, what we're probably going to do is not edit the podcast. So this is something very new. Normally, we've always edited the podcast, and I would argue at times over-edited it. If you go look back three episodes from now, it was just one long sentence. So you'll get a little bit more of our ums.
Our ums. Yeah, let's um it out. And we've got lots of ums today because it's just kind of an ummy kind of day.
Yeah.
It's an ummy, bummy, crummy kind of day.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's like a Dr. Seuss book, but for sadness. Okay, so getting into the episode, I actually find like a lot of the scenes. So what's interesting about this episode is that there's one story, like there's just one story that's going on. You know, like
yeah, there's like the forefront story that involves everyone, and then the background story that involves Ross and kind of Rachel.
Yeah. Yeah, and like I don't even think we need to talk about the cold open. I don't really find anything special. Like,
I think
just
it's
like
cute.
It's cute. Like they're clearly showing that Rachel's like trying to do her job and remember all these T's, and then it's like the wrong person. And I feel like that's a very relatable moment if you've ever worked in the service industry where you're just like, I gotta remember all these things, and then you go to like tell someone and then you realize you forgot one of the things or you're telling the wrong person or whatever.
Yeah, I've been a server and I've literally done almost exactly that before.
Yeah?
Okay, yeah, yeah. Definitely like showed up at a table and be like, blah 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 blah. Right. You didn't ask me this. What is it that you want?
Yeah. Oops. Yeah, for sure.
And I think that like the way that the cold open kind of pulls in to the rest of the episode is that it's showing Rachel at her job and how it's subtly, in my opinion, kind of showing that serving can be a really humiliating job. It requires a lot of emotional energy and a very thick skin. And the way the guy kind of looks at her, like she's an idiot. But in actuality, if you've ever been a server, you've very likely done exactly this. And you know that Rachel's not being an idiot. She's being overwhelmed by a busy cafe, most likely. Yeah. Anyway, and so then we move on to the scene next, the first scene, where Monica comes in.
Yeah, okay. So Monica comes in with the mail. And this is wild that Rachel's mom is sending her these, like, you know, engagement photos or whatever, these engagement ads in the Country Club magazine or whatever it's called. It's just, like, weirdly classist and also kind of super sexist, this idea of, like, look, you need to get married.
Yeah, it's also weird because it's, like, for, like, inspiration. Like, there's almost a part of it. It's like, choose from one of these men who are already engaged.
That's true. You know? I didn't think of that.
Like, it's like a catalog of men who want to get engaged. Go after them. I don't know. It's weird.
That's true. And I want to talk a little bit about
the fact that Barry and Mindy are together and it hasn't even been a year.
Yeah.
Well, but we can get engaged into that, like, in the next few episodes.
Yeah, because the next episode is the evil orthodontist.
I left it out of, like, polls and everything like that because I was like, we could talk about this now or we could talk about this next week.
I do want to talk about a thing that's kind of briefly said, which is that, you know, Monica has this reaction where she's like, oh, wow, she's pretty lucky to have a friend like you. And she, like, kind of backpedals. And it's such an interesting thing, and I feel like I don't know, at least I've been here where you don't want your partner to, and this kind of plays into the next episode, the next scene where Rachel's sitting with Ross and she's like, you know, maybe it would be different. I wouldn't feel so bad about this if, you know, I was with someone. And I think that feeling of like breaking up with someone, knowing that you made the right decision to break up with them, but also like kind of harboring these feelings where you're just like, yeah, but the next person you date can't be more of a catch than me, you know? And it's like, it's not valid, you know, like obviously. And I also think that this idea of like women kind of pitting against each other is a common thing. And I know like there's like that like girl code or whatever, where like you're always like siding with your friend in like, you know, and kind of like encouraging a certain amount of pettiness or cattiness. And I think that there's ways to support women without degrading other women, you know? And I think that it's very mainstream to see people who are like, oh yeah, you know, like, well, she's so much uglier than you, or she's fatter than you. That's one that people use a lot, you know, like just like kind of really degrading women in an effort to make other women feel better for the people that their exes are dating, instead of just like, you know, completely degrading the man that they were with.
Yeah.
Because Barry could be degraded. No, I'm kidding. That's mean. But
I mean, again, we'll get into this.
We'll get into this next episode.
Because you're not wrong. but I do think, yeah, along that same thread, just how with Rachel saying like, oh, it would be different if I was maybe with someone else. It's like, women especially, it happens for everyone, but women especially are very much put into this light of like, your success is very much based on like you being married and having kids. And that's just very, especially from Rachel's world, right? We've talked about this before. The world that Rachel is from, it's very much like you're dependent on your father financially, and then you're dependent on your husband. And your job is basically to be hopefully a trophy wife and to offer like bearing of children and that sort of thing. So that's really the world that Rachel is from. And so I as much as it's like, Rachel, this should not be like what you feel, but it's like totally understandable that that's how she feels and how a lot of people end up feeling, because we're so brainwashed into this idea that your success is based on your partner, or if you're partnered, if you have a partner, and
your ability to like create a nuclear family, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Hate nuclear families. Okay.
Wow.
Harboring a lot of feelings lately, guys.
All right. Talk about this after. Okay, so then Ross is about to basically tell Rachel how he feels about her. So we've jumped to the next scene. Ross is about to tell her how he feels. You know, and then the gang walks in, having watched a chick flick, they called it.
Do you believe that you can have a partner that is like your best friend but can also make your toes curl?
I put yes.
Aw. Yeah, I think that I really love that line. I think it's really cute.
Yeah, interesting.
And I think it's really cute where she's looking intense and holding his hands. And it would have been the perfect moment for him to tell her.
Yeah, it would have been. It would have been a great moment
for him to segue in. And he was going to, so good on him.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I think that's the nicest thing you've ever said about Ross. Possibly. Good on him. That's all he's getting from you.
There you go, champ. You did one thing right.
But yeah, anyways, and so they walk in and they're, you know, whatever, the guys are like, ah, total chick flick. Again, this, like, perpetuation of the fact that, like, men like sports and man movies and fast cars and explosions. And, you know, women like fluffy films that – and they honestly, like, you know, you get all these background jokes and stories in this show, and – And you can't dissect it. Like, we've made it a goal to dissect this podcast, you know, or dissect this show one episode at a time. But you can't dissect this show one episode at a time, because when you take a step back and look at, like, the bigger picture of these kind of, like, subliminal messages. I don't want to say subliminal messages, but, like, I kind of do. Mm-hmm. They're just, like, this, like...
These patterns that create another dialogue on top of everything else.
Yeah, that are just, like, perpetuating this idea, this constant idea that women are different than men. Like, if you were to sum up...
And men are different from women.
Yeah. And if you were to sum up this show and kind of, like, the themes that come up a lot in this show, it's this, like, men versus women. Like, the quote-unquote male sex versus the female sex. And, like, men have such and such needs and women have such and such needs. And it's just, like... And it's very binary the way that Friends is. And so when they're not, like... They're not being explicitly sexist. Like, sometimes they are, and we call it out. But it's just this kind of, like, generic, like, it's like a cloud of, like, a dark cloud of sexism and the patriarchy that just, like, sprinkles showers and, like, fog.
A little bit of acid rain slash toxic masculinity every once in a while slash all the time.
Yeah.
It's like a mist. Yeah, no, we're not saying that recognizing differences between people is bad. This is not like a gender blind sort of
oh my god, no
thing. But it's the seeing gender before people and making broad sweeping assumptions about people based because they're being defined by their gender. And specifically a very small, narrow idea of two genders and everything else being erased. And that's the problem.
And also this kind of intergenerational, because it is it continues through generations. The patriarchy is not just like someone woke up one day and like the patriarchy existed. It's a generational idea that has has socialized people over and over and over again that, like, you know, if you're a woman and you're thinking, well, I do like, you know, romantic comedies and I don't really like action movies and sports, like, that's not, like, sure, that's great. No one's, like, I like action movies, I like romantic comedies, but, like, it's this idea that, like, we've been socialized to take on these characteristics through the media that we're exposed to, through our parents, through the world around us. And it's, you can't look at your own life experience and your own likes and dislikes without looking at it as, like, a bigger picture of the world we live in.
Yeah. Emily, do you know what I can't wait for?
What?
Hallmark Christmas movies.
Oh my God, those are great. Yeah. I don't love those as much as you do.
Oh my God. You know, it's coming.
It, like, snowed the day after Halloween and Quinn and I were like, oh my God, Christmas is coming. It's all we have, okay?
Emily, should Monica have a say as to whether or not Marcel can be in the apartment without her there?
Okay. I put yes, but I wanted to put, like, a little asterisk or whatever with it.
I know. Talk about binary, eh?
Yeah.
I know, just really. Like, you guys, yes or no questions, yes or no only.
These questions.
It's very contradictory to, like, this entire podcast, these polls, because literally the entire polls were like, everything is nuance. It really depends. There's always very specific scenarios.
If you were to pull out, like, one term that was used the most in our show, it's like, depends. And but I just said it accidentally. But yeah, no, I think that Monica should have a say, but I also think that, like, Rachel lives there too. You know, the monkey's been in the apartment multiple times before, and I think that, like, if, you know, Ross asked Rachel, it's not like he just, like, left the monkey and ran. Like, so I think that, sure, Monica should have a say, but should that say be, like, a veto say? No.
Right. No. Yeah. Everything should be negotiated. But I really like what, so Shannon wrote in, one of our listeners, who we love. We love you, Shannon. She doesn't mention any allergy or specific phobia, more a general sense of dislike, which means that it's probably best case scenario that Marcel be there when she's not.
Right.
Which I thought was a really interesting point. You know, it's like Monica is getting up in arms about this. But then again, also Monica is all about control, right? So if she's not there, she can't control the situation.
Yeah. It also feels like that was, like, very much a brother-sister thing. Like, when he's like, oh, unclench. Like, it's very much, you know. And honestly, Monica does often need to unclench. And I said it while watching our Netflix party, like, I also need to unclench. So sometimes every once in a while, someone needs to just, like, text me the word unclench.
Except if I ever told you to unclench.
Not you. You don't count. You can't tell me how to live my emotions.
Live your emotions. Noted.
But yeah, no. But even just, like, you know, like, unclench is just such a good word. It's just like, you know, like when you've got your jaw clenched shut, you're just, like, rigid and hard about something, you know?
Oh, it's so funny. That is, like, not the portrayal that I have.
Were you thinking of a clenched bum?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought of that too.
I think that's what it implies. It doesn't imply clenched jaw. You're too much of a naive yoga instructor, Emily.
Well,
unclench the jaw. Relax but then, the muscles of the face.
Shut up, I do say that. But
I know, we both do, obviously.
But what, I don't really, like, unclench your butt in what sense? Like,
I think it's a sexual thing, possibly.
Ew. I don't like that.
But it could also just be, like, a defecation thing. Like, when you're nervous.
Yeah, you don't. Yeah. Yeah. It's probably, I'm gonna go ahead and say it's a defecation thing because I refuse to believe that Ross would say, like, a sexual thing to Monica. But
a lot of these things, right, like, they're people terms say that, them, yeah. And, you know, like, you know, the expression suck it.
Yeah.
You know, that's a sexual term.
I use that term all the time. I shouldn't.
And so funny. It's just like these things have just been integrated into our society and we don't, you know. Yeah. Like toxic masculinity and all these other things.
It's a fog. It's a fog that exists. And it doesn't just exist in friends. It exists everywhere. In the U.S. elections. Okay, moving on. Okay, so I just want to say a note. You didn't do an outfit poll, or we didn't do an outfit poll this week, but Joey has a stellar outfit here. He's wearing like
the same jacket that he's won with like every time that we've put it in the polls.
Really? Okay, yeah. It's a stellar it's jacket. The same he jacket, just looks guys. So good in it. His outfit is so good. And I really like this like opened fall jacket thing that he does often.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
Yeah, I find it interesting because one of the things that I actually was reading about in Friends is that they actively try to make it as realistic as possible with costumes and props. So they do actually like re-wear like the same wardrobe. Like they have the same pieces for a period of time.
I feel like Rachel only rewears some of her outfits like a handful of times, not very often.
She actually rewears things like a fair amount. Like she's already worn the same t-shirt like 3 times in the season so far.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But then I think also they even show Rachel wearing some of Monica's clothing as well. They kind of will do that as well to try to make it really realistic. But that was sort of it, is that like all the jackets that we saw, everyone has already, like we've already pulled them before. We had some new stuff, but we're kind of getting to a point where, you know, like there's certain things that it's like people have already worn these outfits before, or at least pieces of these clothing. So I guess a piece of clothing is not the same as an outfit, but
yes.
Anyway, it was just going to take too much time and I have work to do now. So That's the real reason.
That's the real reason. okay, so we hop over to the next scene, and Rachel is we can skip honestly the whole like pizza restaurant conversation. It's like there's a couple of good lines in there. Like Chandler says, Ross says, "I'm gonna like woo her," and Chandler says, "Yeah, and you can go back to the 1800s when that term was last used," which is excellent.
It's a nice representation of where they're at. You know, like they're making sex jokes.
Yeah,
like Chandler and Joey are like, you know, making inappropriate jokes, and Ross is like trying to have a serious conversation about how he's in love with this person, he's going to woo her, and it's just like a nice contrast that exists there. You know, it's like, it's reinforcing that narrative that Ross is like, he's in some forms like more relationship matured in the sense that he wants, a settled down, it's not even called maturity. It's just like something that he wants, you know, he's the person that wants.
Just like he's been married before. He's done the like long-term relationship. He kind of knows what he wants out of a relationship, but he doesn't want. And he clearly just, you know, wants Rachel. Okay. So anyways, hop forward. She's, Rachel is watching, Marcel.
Some soap opera. Okay, yeah. She's watching soap opera.
I tried to look it up, but I couldn't really find anything. I probably could have looked harder and kind of rewinded, gotten some names and researched based on the names, but yeah, it might have just been made up.
Yeah, if you know the soap opera that she was watching, please let us know. We definitely want to know.
Bonus points. Maybe we'll send you a sticker if you let us know. Yeah, why not? Yeah. Oh my God. We didn't approve of this before, but Quinn's into it. So if you tell us what soap opera Rachel's watching,
we'll send you a sticker.
We'll send you a sticker, but don't tell us that it's a fake one because then
we're going to double check it, guys.
We're not sure.
Anywho, so I think it's really cute how Rachel is explaining to Marcel.
Yeah, that's super cute.
It's so cute. And then also Marcel is so cute.
Mm.
Oh my God. Like when she picks up the pillow and sees the shoe, and then she's like, "Marcel, did you poo in Monica's shoe?" And he has his little furry paw on her finger, and then he sticks his nose in the shoe and looks where she's looking. It's so cute.
You know what? I like barely actually watch Marcel when I watch the show.
Oh, interesting.
Like I just don't. Monkeys don't do it for me. That sounded weird. I just don't find like. I understand that he's cute, and I'm like, I acknowledge you as a tiny, cute animal. But, like, I'm just, like, such more of, like, a puppy or a cat person. Or, like, cute little baby pigs when they fit into teacups, you know?
I definitely think that the show makes the show, this is why I think it's so weird. Marcel is cute, but they don't do a very good job of making, like, shooting shots of him where he's adorable. It's more just weird. There's like a monkey there, you know? Anyway.
So then we get a bit of a, I want to say it's a transphobic joke, just it's not inherently transphobic in its essence. It's just transphobic in its delivery and the fact that it was intended to be a joke rather than a fact.
Yeah. And also in the greater context, again, of the show, because when you've seen all 10 seasons, you realize, again, that the show is very transphobic.
Yeah. So Rachel is talking to Marcel and says, you know, this is Dr. So-and-so. She used to be a man. And then, like, the audience laughs, you know? And it's clearly supposed to be, like, this humorous concept that, you know, trans people exist. And it's LOL instead of just, like, real life and factual, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Just boring. And those jokes are boring to me, honestly. Like, and you know, whatever. Call me a radical. But it's just boring. It's like you can do better. You know, it's like you're stating a fact and thinking people are going to find it funny. Like it's like it's the same as fat jokes. I find those jokes are the same. And maybe we could use this to transition into fat jokes.
Sure.
Unless we skipped a bunch of stuff. But
I mean, when sure, we can talk about the fat phobia on the show.
Yeah.
So are we going to start taking on – okay, so because I think that thus far we've only really glossed over the fat phobia in the show. We've sort of
– pointed out when it comes up, but don't really
– But don't really
– Get into it.
Yeah, go into it all that far. And I think that we sort of talked about sort of maybe putting a pin in a little bit because there is an episode to come.
Season two.
Season two, eh? It's a little too far to wait. But where we discover – that ugly naked guy across the street, the reason why they think he's ugly is because he's fat.
No, that's season three.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, I thought you were talking about, like, when they literally talk about fat Monica and they put her in a fat suit.
Right.
And that's season two.
Okay.
Because I think we should get into the fat phobia when that comes up. But we get, like, honestly, we can't, we have to talk about it. And, like, it's not... So I wrote some notes about it, I think that my frustrations with fat phobia in shows is this idea where, like, if you take a step back, everyone agrees that making fun of someone for the way their body looks is not okay, right?
Right.
If you take a step back, everyone's, like, on board. Like, most people are like, oh, yeah, that was a mean joke, you know? But the problem that is more with fat phobia in the sense that, like, it's not the same as, like, making fun of someone because they've got, like, you know, buck teeth or something like that, you know? Like, it's just fat phobia, it creates a – literally the term fat phobia is this fear of fatness. It's this fear of you as an individual getting fat – because you as an individual know the way fat people are treated in society. And it's this idea that fat people are inherently wrong in their fatness and that their existence is, you know, a burden on the healthcare system, that their existence is disgusting because that's awful but real. And it's this constant integration in the show that, like, thinness is valuable and fatness is not valuable.
Mm-hmm. I mean, in the show and also
in life.
In life, it's like very pervasive. There is this veil that fat phobia sort of hides behind, and that's sort of like the health reasons. Which, for the record...
As two people who work in the wellness industry.
Yeah, which it's wrong. There's giant misconceptions that are continuously falsely perpetuated around fatness and health. And then, like, that in and of itself is, like, super horrible because essentially it's sort of, like... And also, okay, tangent though, like, even if it was, okay, even if it was, it is none of your business.
One, it's none of your business. And two, people who are unhealthy are also valuable people. You're not going to go up to someone who has cancer and, like, you know, stage three cancer and be like, you're less valuable as a person because you have cancer. You're not going to go to someone who has chronic you know, chronic illness, chronic pain, and say you're less valuable as a person. You're not going to say that to someone who has heart disease. Like, it's, we only equate, we only care about the health when the body attached to the health is a bigger body. Otherwise, we don't give a shit if you smoke, you know, 12 packs of cigarettes a day. We don't give a shit if you do tons of drugs. We don't give a shit if you drink a bunch. Mm-hmm. Like, when I was peak unhealthiness, I was at my thinnest. I was working at fats. I was doing a bunch of drugs. I was drinking as 3 meals a day. I was like,
bread.
You know, I was sleeping till noon. I had no friends. My mental health was in a shit show. And I remember someone coming up to me and being like, oh my God, you look so good. What are you doing? And I was like, it's called depression and alcoholism. You shouldn't give it a try.
Definitely don't. Also, I want to spin back around though. I think a lot of people who are on disability or who struggle with chronic illness would kind of disagree with some of the points that you brought up.
Right.
But like in general, it's like, especially when going back and forth between like someone who is in a larger body, what they do is so scrutinized,
right?
Versus when you're thin, no one cares. And the thing is that
I guess I didn't mean like disability in the sense I meant like chronic illness, like a cancer or like something that in which like society has deemed is a sickness, you know, because so often society deems some sicknesses as like legitimate sicknesses and some sicknesses as like illegitimate sicknesses, you know?
Yeah, totally. But then also the associations that are continuously made, like just recently, it was really frustrating. I came because on our What the Phalange account, I just follow all of these like fan friends accounts, and people are like continuously making up like really like funny memes and stuff like that that are all associated to Friends, and we post some of them that we find are relevant onto our page, like some really great 2020 Friends memes that I'm very grateful for. But the other day we came across one that was extremely fat phobic. It was basically comparing Monica when she was younger and had a bigger body versus now. And there was just like this tagline versus like stealing your pizza versus stealing your heart.
Or stealing your boyfriend.
Or stealing your boyfriend. Yeah. And so it was just so horrible. Because it's just these continuous like associations of like someone who is fat, like eating excessively or not taking care of themselves or, you know, being selfish even. Like all of these different things are just so harmful and so wrong. And like it's just not an acceptable thing to make light of this and to perpetuate these things in any light. Mm-hmm. Like it's just wrong. And it really reinforces a whole billions of dollar industry, which is the diet culture and the wellness industry, that is entirely based then and fueled by making people fear fatness in order to make money off of you.
Meanwhile, people who are fat are constantly denied proper medical care. You know, they're constantly being blamed for anything that happens to them. Basically, it's like, oh, well, it's because you're fat.
Yeah.
When there's 1,000 reasons why someone could get sick, could be unwell and, you know, visit a doctor. And it's not just because someone has, you know.
Yeah, usually like the first medical intervention that's like a doctor will give is like, well, you have to just lose weight and then we'll see. And that's just like not a real thing. Like weight loss is this huge illusion, guys.
Mm-hmm. 98% of the time that people go on diets, they regain the weight. 98% of people, I should say, who go on diets regain the weight, and if not, regain more weight. And there's tons and tons of studies coming out that consistent up and down weight gain can be really harmful for your heart. So while you're spouting the importance of health to people who are in bigger bodies, this up and down of weight is actually, you know, worse for your health.
Yep. And also, furthermore, like, there's more and more evidence behind people having more of a genetic-based set weight, meaning that the weight that you are is really just, like, the healthy weight that you should be at. And so trying to fight against that is actually extremely unhelpful and really unhealthy. And it's
hard on your metabolism, hard on your mental health too.
Yeah, super hard on your mental health. Not to mention that there's been tons of studies that show that when people diet, there's like this huge potential for like mental health issues to develop, including eating disorders.
And eating disorders are the number one mental health killer in Canada.
Yeah. People die of eating disorders. Like, let's get that clear. Like, there is a direct link to death, you know?
With eating disorders, yeah.
Yeah.
And more, you know, studies are coming out that maybe someone doesn't have a clear eating disorder as it's labeled, but disordered eating is becoming more rampant as the fitness industry kind of gets more fuel. Disordered eating is more along the realms of, like, being very obsessive about the food you put in your body versus along the lines of, like, more restrictive or binge eating that you will tend to see in more classic eating disorders. All that to say, big loop around. I just want to say that, like, we can throw out all the stats in the world and all of these things around the importance of, like, not making fun of people who are in bigger bodies. But I think that especially with fat phobia, we need to be looking at our own internalized understandings of these concepts. You know, we can see someone who's like being inherently, not especially with fat phobia, honestly, every single oppression. Anyway, yeah, so with all of these oppressions, it's really important that even though we can witness fat phobia, racism, sexism, you know, queer phobia, we can see it, we can be like, oh, that person, you know, called that person the F word, the queer slur, you know, and you can like see that and call them out and be like, you shouldn't say these things. But we really need to do the work to like unfuck up our own minds around these concepts. And with fat phobia, because literally anyone could be in a bigger body, anyone's body, or I don't want to say anyone because some people have really fast metabolisms and like don't gain weight, but pretty much the majority of the world can get into a bigger body, whether it's from the medication you take, whether it's from, you know, a variety of reasons, your set weight, whatever it is. And until we can really understand that, like, being fat is not a bad thing and tell ourselves that as well, we won't be able to have, like, justice for people who are bigger in this world and don't have access to medical care. We need to do this work internally, and it's so, so fucking important. So the next time you, like, make a joke about, like, oh, I shouldn't have this cookie because it's, like, so bad for me, like, you know, or, like, I'm being evil for having this cookie or whatever it is, like, really start to notice the ways in which fat phobia seeps into your every single day life, because the more you start to notice it, the more you can't stop noticing it. And maybe we'll throw a whole bunch of, like, you know, show notes about, in our show notes, we'll throw in a bunch of links around this. And there's a lot of people in, you know, the Black activist community also talking about the intersections of fat phobia and racism as well. And so we'll throw those notes into our show notes as well, because it's really important. And I think we also get this idea that, you know, eating disorders is like thin white women, and it's not. And it's a whole slew of things. And people in bigger bodies have eating disorders all the time that go undiagnosed and are congratulated for their weight loss. So anyways, I think we talked like 20 minutes about this. Do you think that's enough?
Yeah, I think that moving forward, like in the podcast as a whole, I think we probably should also do a little bit better of a job of sort of like delving into that every time it comes up. Now that we've kind of like laid down some groundwork, let's build on it as we go.
Yeah. Because this was just the surface.
Yeah. Oh my God. It was just scratching the surface, even though we talked for a very long time about it. But Emily, how does this tie into the show?
This ties into the show because they perpetually continue to make jokes about how Monica was fat and therefore, like, was at a disadvantage.
What about this episode?
The lady says that.
Oh, right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. This whole scene. Okay. No, yeah. Never mind. I remember what scene we're on now. Yeah.
There's this whole scene where, you know, she says, or, yeah, you know, and it comes up later on in the episode where even Ross says to Rachel, you had to be a bitch in high school. Hey, Rachel, which let's next talk about how Ross is a dick. You know, you had to be a bitch in high school, Rachel. You couldn't be fat because, like, being fat is this, like, horrible thing that you have to exist in, as they kind of, like, imply. And everyone should make it their life goal to get out of being fat, which, you know, they basically have a whole episode about this later in the season, how Monica makes it her life goal to stop being fat.
Yep.
And is continuously berated for being fat. And we even have a joke about that later on in the episode where she makes a joke about how she's in The Sound of Music and you can't see the mountains behind her because she's so fat, and everyone laughs because it's so funny, fat people. Like, again, boring ass jokes, find something better.
Yeah, totally. And then also now segueing into representation of fat characters and fat people on shows. So in the past, you have mentioned that usually fat people are depicted as, like, villains. Mm-hmm. And so in this case, you have Louisa, who is a villain. Yeah. And so
fat people are depicted, like, often in three different kind of characters. One is, like, the funny sidekick. Two is, like, the homey mom-ish character or caregiver character, nurse character. And then three, it's, like, that evil, you know, to use Ross's term, bitch.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So
we see that in Louisa in this episode as well. Mm-hmm. And then we have Phoebe that's also displayed as, or a pretty big flake. And I can't decide if I'm, like, especially after last episode where we talked about how all the girls were being depicted and, like, written out to be such big flakes. I can't tell if how I feel about Phoebe as a character right now, because in this episode she is a complete flake. Oh, thank you. She is a complete flake, and I don't really. Anyway, I love her jokes though. I think the lines that she serves are pretty hilarious.
I don't mind Phoebe as a flake. Honestly, I think that, like, that's really integral to her character, and I don't actually feel like when they make Phoebe a flake that it's derived from sexism that much, because, like, Joey is also a really big flake in the entirety of the show, and I, like, they make fun of both Joey and Phoebe for their flakiness, like, excessively, and, like, their characters are, like, they're an exaggerated kind of character in terms of their flakiness, I think. Like, I think that, yeah, I don't know. I feel like they perpetually kind of make them into caricatures of these, of themselves.
Right. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, Phoebe's...
I love Phoebe, though.
She's just so interesting.
I really resonate with Phoebe.
There isn't always time.
It's so good. Do you want to finish off this episode talking about how much we hate Ross and how he's such a dick and how men episode? Are gross? Like,
well, okay, so.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I know that we're pretty far into the episode. We're an hour in. But I want to bring up. So they've all dispersed and they're looking for the monkey. We just finished talking about the scene with Louisa. And then we're going to flip over to the guys. So Joey and Chandler knock on a door, and two people whose radiator is broken open. They are perceived as two hot women.
Yes. And chaos ensues.
I thought the scene was really interesting because when we watched it on the Netflix watch party, you were sort of like, I feel like that scene, it was written out and the script should have been reversed for Chandler and Joey. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because then when I watched it for like two times after, I like watched it and I was like, yeah, you're kind of right.
But it's funny that you say that because then I watched it today and I might backpedal on that a little bit.
Because of the condescending comment that Chandler says at the end.
The way Chandler says the condescending comment, but also in the fact that Joey is often depicted as caring about his friends, but treating women like shit. And so he does this thing where he's like, whereas Chandler perpetually treats his friends like shit and treats the women in his life like, okay.
Right. Yeah.
Janice. Right. But like, and I think that when Joey says this line of like, okay, we like, you know, don't we have to go? Like, we're helping our friends. Right. And then he says this really gross line to the women. Like, that's a Joey thing to like care about his friends, but literally give zero fucks about women.
That one line is like him in a nutshell or like the pattern that we've seen thus far.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
So okay. I would like to backpedal on me saying that. But it is like I did when I said it in the Netflix watch party, I was thinking of the fact that like Joey is often like gross but smooth, I think is the term I said. Mm-hmm. Whereas Chandler is often gross and not smooth. Right. And so this line of like, if we could just get your picture, like that's gross and very much not smooth. So that line feels like a Chandler line. I don't know.
No, that's fair. One thing that I want to point out in this situation where the girls ask, or like the two women ask, do you know how to turn off a radiator?
Do you know how to fix a radiator?
Do you know how to fix a radiator? And he's like, well, have you tried just turning the knob sort of thing? It's very like, comes across as mansplaining, but then you realize that it's actually just genuine.
Because Joey's an idiot.
Joey's an idiot.
Yeah.
But then what's interesting is that in the future, in a future episode, a radiator stops working and the entire episode sort of revolves around this and Joey fixes it at the end by just turning a knob, but it was just like a secondary knob that people didn't know about. And so it's very possible that in this case he's like coming across as a bit of like a, he doesn't know what he's talking about, and but in actuality he could be right. He
does know what he's talking about. That's really funny actually. That's like a little bit of a continuity that they put in. That's actually really funny. Yeah, I didn't think of that. Okay, so yeah, the boys are gross in this scene.
And then we flash over to Rachel and Ross, and Ross berating Rachel further. I mean, like, we're not, like, it continues throughout the entire episode, but I think this is a nice segue into it.
The scene where they're on the street?
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, they're on the street, and then Rachel's like, I've apologized to you, like, what more do you want me to do? You know, like, and... Like, there is that argument that, like, you know, if someone's mad, they're allowed to be mad. They don't need to forgive you right away. But, you know, there's ways to express anger that are healthy and productive and not productive. Productive is not the right word. Healthy and non-harmful to the other people around you. And Ross is just being a total fucking piece of shit.
Mm-hmm. What I find interesting is that on our polls, I asked, do you think Ross's reaction was reasonable? And 47% of people said yes. Now, I also don't know, like, I mean, the picture that I put up was just him exploding at Rachel in the apartment, like through the window.
I don't find that his first explosion is that bad. When he's first upset with her and he's like, how did this happen? What happened? Like, he's panicking, he's anxious, he's angry.
Right. But then it like, devolves into like, well, I should have started you off with a pencil. You know, this is my fault, you know, like.
Yeah, exactly. And so like that's where it starts to get down. When he first has that explosion, like I think that it's fine. Like, you know, you like, it gets into the idea that, like, men can always, again, express their anger in, like, this yelling, really confrontational way in which, and, you know, women tend to express their anger, like, they're depicted as expressing their anger as, like, more subdued, passive-aggressive. But I don't think, like, expressing your anger at a friend for, like, doing something that could have put, like, you know, your animal in danger, or is putting your animal in danger as far as you know, is like, you know, whatever. You're allowed to be mad for that.
Yeah. I thought it was also really interesting because when we watched the Netflix watch party, we had Ray, who was our new patron, which Ray, we loved having you there. But they brought up a really interesting point that whenever you let your pet or child be watched by someone else, you have to realize that there are risks involved and that someone, you know, this person might, you know, lose the pet or the child, you know, like these are living creatures that people are watching. And there is an aspect that it's like, there's always a risk and that's just the reality of it. And so like Ross really, like, I think that an initial fear and anger makes sense, but the way that he belittles her and degrades her is the belittling the entire episode.
Yeah, it's that I should have started you off with a pencil or a pen or whatever he says. And then later on, he says, like, when they're out on the street and he's yelling at her and he's like, I'm just, you know, I'm just Rachel. I'm so oblivious. I'm blah, blah, blah. And he's like,
okay, I'm laughing because like, yes, I agree with you. What he says is like completely unacceptable, but it's also hilarious the way he like tosses his hair.
That's true. His acting is pretty swell here.
It's pretty hilarious, but still not okay.
Yeah. And okay. And I'm going to do like a big circle to an episode we had a long time ago about the friend zone. And
right.
I think that this is why the friend zone is shit. Shit, shit, shit. Because Ross says he's a nice guy. Ross says he's so great. Ross is like her friend and he's there. And then in this time in which it has literally nothing to do with his love for her, you know, it literally has nothing to do. She doesn't know he's into her. She doesn't know anything like this. He uses this as a reason to be even more mad at her. He says, I'm so oblivious to people's feelings.
I was just going to bring this up. Yeah.
He like uses this as a reason to be even angrier. And like, okay, not to take a dramatic spin, but like how often do we have like fucking like mass shooters who kill women or even men in abusive relationships who kill women because they're like upset that this woman doesn't understand their feelings that they literally never fucking expressed. It's like, you can't be mad at Rachel for not knowing she likes you when you've literally not told her that you like her.
Yeah.
And the excuse of like, well, he was trying to tell her at the beginning of the episode. Well, you had 17 fucking episodes and about 10 years before that, Ross, to tell her. Like, you can't just use your anger. You can't just use your love for her as a way to perpetuate your anger towards her. It's just not valid.
Yeah, no, exactly. Like, this is his fault. He is responsible for that. And he's putting off onto Rachel and making her feel like shit for something that is not her fault. I mean, like, she does have some play in, like, you know, watching the monkey. But again, at a certain point, there is risks involved. And he's overly upset with her because of something that is his own fault. And anyway, and she has to take the blame for it. And the show just accepts it. Like, it's a normal thing. Anyway. Yeah.
I have a question for you.
Okay.
If your friend was so angry that they kicked a metal pole and they broke their toe, like Ross does, as a way to comfort them, would you also kick a metal pole?
I mean,
if it wasn't Ross,
I feel like that's something I would that do. Would happen between us.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Anyways, just trying to bring some joy and jokes to our very serious episode.
I know it.
we're just pissed at like the world and everything that's collapsing around us. And really, when we talk about how much we hate Ross, we're talking about other people too. and anyways, okay, I do want to give Ross a wee bit of credit at the end of the episode. Is that he recognizes that the way he reacted was not valid, and he attempts to apologize. Was it a mediocre apology? Yes. Did it need to be a lot more intense than that? Yes. Did he apologize? Yeah. You know, I'll take it. It's the only time that any man has apologized on this show so far.
Yeah. Oh my God. We have such low bars. Cause in a lot of ways, like, yay, a demonstration of a man giving an apology, but also like, is sometimes nothing better than something? You know what I mean? Like, okay, let's parallel this to how there are so many movies out there of a douchebag as a main male character. And, you know, a woman being like, you know, in love with him and he keeps doing horrible things. And then finally she's like, never mind. And then he does one decent thing. And then suddenly he's totally accepted as like the hero.
And all their other like relationship problems don't matter anymore because like he did this one somewhat medium thing.
Yeah. And I think that like this is sort of that in a sense, you know, it's like he did not understand what he had to apologize for. I don't believe. You know, like,
he's, I think like, so. I think he's like, I shouldn't have yelled at you that way. I shouldn't have spoken to you that way. Like he acknowledges that the way he reacted wasn't valid.
Right. But he will do it again and again and again in time to come. And then Rachel is completely unfazed by it. And this is also a part that's upsetting.
That's a problem. What upsets me about Rachel.
Is that she just like accepts the apology like as though it was no big deal.
And she's like, no, it was my fault. That's what she said. She's like, no, it was my fault. And it's like, look, like, yeah, Rachel was at fault. She like to a certain degree, you know, you don't open a door when you're taking care of an animal and not expect it to run out. She was clearly distracted, you know, and she definitely should own that. But I feel like she owned that already. And then Ross was a dick to her. And then he apologized-ish for that, you know, dickishness, mm-hmm. if this is a word. And then she just like was like, no, I was at fault. It's like, no, Rachel, you already took responsibility of what you did wrong.
Mm-hmm.
He let him apologize to you now. You know?
She did all the right things, right? She,
yeah.
You know, she called in the troops. She got everyone looking for Marcel right away. She made
animal control.
Yeah, she called other resources, which, I mean, he got angry at her for that, but that's his own fault because he should have explain why that is. If it was a dog, like it would have been totally reasonable to be like, to call external sources and be like, hey, we're missing our pet. You know, yeah. If you pick up a dog off the street,
yeah.
You know, make sure that it's not this one, you know? Mm-hmm. She did everything right. And, you know, she told him right away and,
you know. She even has that line at the end where she's talking to the animal control person and she says like, you know, what she said. She's like, I'm going to lose my friend forever or whatever.
Which, like, Rachel, lose him.
Ugh.
Okay, I'm feeling, like, really morose right now.
But, morose, good word.
Thanks, you know, comes out when I'm morose.
You're such a four.
Stop using numbers. I always have to edit it out.
We need to have an Enneagram, like, bonus episode. And talk about all the friends and what Enneagram number that we think they are.
Oh, my God. But, so, all to say, this is going to end on such a horrible note. Yeah, so essentially, Rachel did everything right. Ross is allowed to be angry, but he's not allowed to berate her and beat her down with his words in order to like punish her for what happened because he did so many things wrong in this scenario. And it's not like two wrongs make a right or, you know, like one wrong edits out another wrong, you know? But the thing is that like he is fully like the reasons why he was getting mad at her, they were in part his fault and basically set her up for something really shitty. Yeah.
I want to start something on this podcast as a way to end our podcasts.
To make them a happier ending?
To make them a happier ending. I want to start voting for the best friend of the episode.
Oh my God, that's such a good idea.
Like, who was the best, like, the best friend to the others in this episode? I would like to nominate Phoebe. I think Phoebe was the best. She drove in front of Marcel.
Oh, interesting.
I think that she gets the best friend award.
I think Monica gets the best friend award. She, like, really coordinated, like, the execution of a search party.
Yeah.
And was, like, on it for, like, negotiating with Louisa. She was just, like, there. She was it and on it.
Rachel also did, yeah, but Rachel loses the points for being a bit of an irresponsible friend. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, again, all risks can...
All in a day's work.
You know, like, it's just... Yeah. That's the reality. Like, when you don't own a pet, like, you're not as aware of all of your pet's, like, needs and nuances. You're not, I think we shouldn't debate this anymore, because the whole point of this whole who is the best friend thing was to end the episode on a happy note.
You're right. Oh my God. We can't even be happy right now. We can't so even hard. Be happy. Okay. What's the, let's just throw in where we're at in terms of the elections.
Okay.
Okay. So nothing new from where we're at. Michigan is still in its position. Apparently, there's still some, you know, Trump wants to stop Michigan from counting votes because he believes that there's something fishy going on there. So,
lol.
Anyways, okay, so you voted Monica as the best friend of the episode. I vote Phoebe as the best friend of this episode.
And the real question is, in future, will it ever be one of the guys?
That's what I was just thinking. I was like, it probably won't ever.
That's not true. There was the episode where Joey held everyone accountable. There's been two episodes where Joey has held everyone accountable, and he was definitely the best friend.
The best friend of the episode. Okay, interesting. Yeah, I think like each one of them will win it like at least a few times.
I'm excited for this segment.
Yeah, this is great.
I want to keep adding more like segments to our podcast.
Ba ba ba. This segment brought to you by the letter E.
What?
Like Sesame Street. Okay, anyways. We're not going to cut this out because we're not doing cuts apparently anymore in our podcast.
Well, we'll see.
We'll see. Anyway. All right. So thanks for tuning in this week, pals.
Pals?
Friends.
Friends. So make sure you're all taking care of yourself.
Take care of yourself. And maybe next week when we touch base, it'll be a different energy.
Yeah, there's a lot to unfold. Everything's being held together by a thread right now, and we have no idea what's going to happen when the thread breaks. So, happy, happy, happy!
Woo!
Make
yourself a good cup of tea, if you like tea.
Okay, now we're just joining on. You can find us at What the Phalange Podcast on Instagram, and you can vote for... Why are you pointing at me?
I thought you were going to do your sign off.
Oh, yeah. And join us every week on Instagram because we like to do our polls. And I'm really determined to not let go of those. But if you want to support the show because you're enjoying it, please head over to our Patreon and become a Patreon subscriber. And you can join into our weekly Netflix watch parties and be a part of the creation of the poll questions.
Bah, bah, bah.
Because I usually need help, guys. And you can find me, Quinn, on quinnkbrunet.com or quinnkbrunet as a handle for Instagram.
And you can find me, emilybyoga.com or emilybyoga on Instagram and Facebook. That's Emily with an I-E, not a Y. As in, why is the world the way it is? Anyway, keep deconstructing
and diversifying
the media you consume.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of What the Phalange. If you're picking up what we're putting down, please consider supporting us on Patreon, leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts, and or sharing us with all of your friends on social media.
You can find us at whatthephalangepodcast.com, email us at wtphalange@gmail.com, DM us on Twitter at wtphalangepod, or follow us on Instagram at wtphalangepodcast. All links will be included in the show notes below.
Want to get in touch with us each individually? You can find Emily on Twitter as EmilyB__, and that's Emily with an I-E.
And you can find Quinn at TheBasicNB on Instagram. Keep deconstructing
and diversifying
the media you consume.